This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig. Did I already say that? I don't think I did.
No, anyways. You did not. I'm just sitting here watching a dog do an agility course.
How's that working for you?
I love it.
Okay, very good.
It's a dog. It's a dog.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, entirely different. Yes. Is this assertion about offensive line pressure correct? And how would the Texans implement it? I scrolling on Twitter and saw an interesting kind of analysis, but it's more about the Los Angeles Clippers. Follow me here. Mm-hmm. The Chargers. Every time I see LAC.
Yeah.
You said that before, too. Mm-hmm.
It gets me every time. But it is the Chargers, rather, that I'm thinking about, who they had similar issues to the Texans in this one space in that there was a lot of pressure up the middle when it came to quarterback hits.
Yeah.
They were third. They had the third highest rate, which was the most of from the interior offensive line. And so this offseason, they made modest improvements on the interior offensive line, which sound familiar at all?
Yes.
And instead of adding weapons or running backs, they explored kind of how improving the run game helps pass protection. And I was like, interesting, cuz I mean, we typically think of the run game as the run game, the pass game as the pass game, and maybe like play action being the ways in which those things intersect and feed off of one another. But that going that way, the running game helping the pass game outside of just like a play action circumstance, but particularly for interior pressure, is an interesting one. But one of the things that this person kind of got into was looking at how often the protection issues broke down for the Chargers in their circumstances, where it was the worst circumstances, which was when it was 8-plus yards to the first down marker. So obviously when you're in long situations, second, third, and long, and you were the Chargers last year were the third worst team in early down success rate running the football. And as I was looking at this, I was like, man, I might as well be looking at the Houston Texans, right? The Texans, all of these things were things we talked about last year. We talked about early downs being a absolute nightmare with this Texas team, oftentimes running the football into a stone wall, but just getting yourself behind the sticks and then asking CJ Stroud and the weapons that you had to make a little something out of nothing, especially with an offensive line that was not holding up nearly as well. And you got a lot of pressure and you got a lot of sacks from that. And so the idea that they're going to run the ball better, especially on early downs, making this offensive line better. Does that feel like that's the way that this Texas team is going? And do you feel like they're capable of applying that thought process adequately to help them get this correct?
I think that's exactly where they're going. And we've talked about what we expect. You know, you often say, I don't know what their offense is, which is absolutely fair.
No idea.
Yeah, it's absolutely fair. But I think we all have a hunch of what they're doing based on their moves, you know, in terms of the type of offensive coordinator they brought in, the type of blocking they want to do, and as opposed to what they did last year, that it's going to be more of a power running game. Now the easy answer is, well, of course, you know, the running game helps the passing game because of play action. Well, I think there's two other things, and you just talked about the biggest one. You know, how many times last year did we see 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12? What if that's 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4? All of a sudden, that's what you're referencing,
right?
You know, in terms of like you're unpredictable. Hence the pass rush, the defensive personnel, you know, might be different.
Right. That's a good point.
To a certain degree. You know, you get 3rd and 8, 3rd and 12, we know who they're going to put on the field. And it's their best pass rushers, an extra defensive back, and maybe even bring some pressure with a defensive back. That makes it so much more difficult. It's just, you know, not only are you shortening the possibilities or more complicating the possibilities, but you're shortening their defensive you know, weaponry, so to speak. And then there's the other thing. If you have success with that, I think it helps you in the passing game on first down. If you're confident in a run game that can chunk, you know, 4 or 5 yards on second down, then you can throw the ball without even a play action on first down or however you want to do it. I think you can throw the ball more effectively on first down if you're a good running team. So, you know, the idea of enhancing the run game to help the passing game, it's not just play action. Neither is it just getting running backs that can block. It's the fact that you're just manipulating the defense a little more, you know?
Yeah, and I like that idea, but then I come back around to the offensive line and the way that they've invested in it, or in some ways, the ways that it feels like they have lacked the level of investment. And I've got to be honest, maybe this is a mini confession. This then also brought me to a place where I got a little bit less certain about one of the things that I felt very certain about with this offensive line, and that's that Titus Howard would be playing guard.
Mm-hmm.
I still feel pretty confident, but how strong did you feel Titus Howard was in run blocking as a guard last year? And I understand and I acknowledge the fact that so much of this, and this is why I am borderline pulling my hair out with the lack of knowledge of what this offense looks like now,
mm-hmm.
was, you know, what Bobby Slowick had them trying to do, the blocking schemes that they were asked to do when it came to like the zone blocking and the mm-hmm. ways in which that the runs worked, right? That is going to impact the way that the actual effectiveness of the blocking goes. But I mean, you look at various grades and, you know, look at the effect of it. And mm-hmm. I don't know that he looked nearly as good blocking, run blocking, as I think that you would think that he would be, considering the size that he has, the strength that he has, and the experience that he has playing offensive line.
Well, but I do think he was their best option, you know, at that position. In terms of combination, that's not a great compliment. You know, it's like, you know,
right. It definitely
is the best we got.
It definitely looked a lot better than when you had Kenyon Green there trying to run.
Yeah,
block,
and
right?
I do understand And even when they were mixing and matching other dudes, you know, Juice Scruggs, didn't he go there in the left side a couple times?
He did
a couple games. And, you know, so he was, it's not a great compliment, but he was the best that they had. And then the other part of this is if you're going to be a better running team, I think you have to be in better shape. And he wasn't in the best shape all year. And so maybe that's something that could help him
this offseason
is coming back, you know, maybe a few pounds less and, you know, a little quicker with his feet and all that. But no, I think it's what every team tries to do. But when you're successful with it, the run game isn't just play action helping. It's a lot of different things.
But yeah, and this is where mm-hmm. we continually come back to the investment that they had on the offensive line and the ways in which it feels like they're just kind of putting guys, just putting a whole bunch of guys in the room and saying the best five guys. But I'm like, I would feel a lot better if I have a definitive knowledge that in the interior of the offensive line can move guys off the ball, run blocking wise, in order to help that pass blocking. Do you have any like confidence that you're going to be able to see that, you're going to see that implemented with the guys that they've put in there, the likes of whether Titus Howard is playing guard or, I mean, Ursary is a big, strong dude that hasn't played guard. And mm-hmm. I think one of the things that that was talked about pretty comfortably by Seth was the idea, you know, if he gets stood up right, like, you know, yeah. guys get a good job getting underneath you or what have you. Is he going to be able to transfer that power? Lakin Tomlinson, how mm-hmm. good do you feel about him if he's in there as in the interior getting some push? I mean, I don't know how you feel about the centers that you have when it comes to run blocking. Like, I think that I would very much like to see them more effective on first down and just running the football better in mm-hmm. order to help everything. I'm wondering how confident you are in the idea that they'll be able to apply that.
I don't know how confident I am, but I do know this. You know, I keep talking about opportunity and options. Do you know how many offensive linemen are on the roster right now?
Let's see.
Figgy, take a guess. How many offensive linemen are on the roster? Don't look. Just give me a number.
I'm going to say 17.
That's so many.
Nailed it.
Really?
17.
With the addition of Jake Andrews yesterday?
I was halfway joking. I was just 17. Like 17.
37.
We know the starting, well, not starting five.
The presumed starting five right now.
Cam Robinson, Titus Howard, Jarrett Patterson, your choice at guard, whether Scruggs or Ingram, and I think Trent Brown, you might say Blake Fisher. So there's the five. Then you got Lakin Tomlinson, Eli Cox, Ed Ingram, Trent Brown, Ursary, Austin Deculus is still on the roster, Zach Thomas, Jerome Carvin, Nick Broker, Jalen Thomas, Jake Andrews just added, and Ladarius Henderson. 17 offensive linemen.
Is it fair to say it's competition at every position on this line?
Except left tackle, I would guess.
So he's pretty – so and even
then,
mark him in
and pin. Even then, you could argue it.
I was about
you
to say, if somebody outplay him
Ursary's right a left tackle by, right. you know, job description or whatever. But I wouldn't imagine he would supplant Cam Robinson. 17 offensive linemen.
It's a lot of them. In theory, if I was just speaking in a vacuum and I go, hey, we're trying to get better at this thing, so we brought in 17 dudes to do that. Like, I would think, yeah, you're going to find guys.
Got
to
find
it.
Five.
You got to find some guys that can do it. And that's what it seems like they're going on. But it also feels like that neglects the inherent kind of talent portion mm-hmm. of this, especially because this is the, in theory, like this larger stretch of time is the time period where you have an opportunity to increase talent, even if you don't necessarily increase talent in such a way where you go, this guy is locked in.
Yeah.
Right. You can still have competition, but while still understanding that you have increased the amount of talent that's there. I feel like that's been the part that's neglected, but I do understand how they get to the idea of, you know, get some guys in here because you would hope to find guys, somebody that can push the pocket or that not push the pocket, but can
protect the quarterback,
push the line of scrimmage and allow you to get 3 yards on a first down and change the entirety of what your offense
is. Here's the thing about having 17 offensive linemen going into, for now, going into camp. I don't even mind it. I really don't because there's, you got to, you know, just got to beat the bushes to find, you know, 5, 6, 7 dudes that you can rely on, you know, and I don't know. Jake Andrews could be the starting center or cut. I mean, think about that.
How many players on this offensive line currently exist in that space for you?
Like it could be a starter?
Yeah, could be a starter or cut. Or like the full magnitude of this.
There's one.
Yeah.
Ed Ingram.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Lakin Tomlinson.
I could also see that.
He could be a starter or cut. And then, you know, Nick Broeker, who actually got a lot of reps last year, especially in the preseason.
He did.
Yeah, he could be cut. Austin Deculus started games here. He could be
that
cut.
Was slim pickings, though, man. Like, we was at the bottom of the barrel. Yeah. That's the reason he started.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if I fully believe that within myself.
Yeah, I don't even think Deculus have a chance to start.
Mm-hmm.
He can make the team, but I don't think Yeah.
Dude. I mean, Eli Cox, undrafted, free agent. The starting center is Jarrett Patterson. That dude could come in here and tear it up or get cut.
And that's the thing about it for me. Like, the competition... I hear you. Mm-hmm. I understand it in theory. But especially like with all of the ways in which the interior offensive line and this building inside into out, like I get mm-hmm. it, right? With all of the ways in which that feels like it's so load bearing, the idea that you have so enough guys that you feel comfortable saying they could start or they could be off of this team entirely, it doesn't engender enough confidence. Yeah. And I feel like that's what you're supposed
to be. Not making you feel better?
I feel like that's what that's the goal, is a level of confidence in this time period mm-hmm. going into your offseason activities, going into training camp, that is the type of move that it would be, I think would be, but fit the quality of team that I think you're trying to be.
Let me ask you this. Outside of Cam Robinson, and we all agree that he's probably the starting left tackle, right? Right?
Yeah.
Cam Robinson? Yeah, more likely right. not. If I had to put a percentage chance on it, it feels like a good 85%, maybe 90% chance.
Outside of him, who's a lock to be a starter?
The tough part about it is
Titus.
Titus?
Yeah, actually, I go Titus. Titus is a lock to be a starter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Titus is a lock to be a starter.
Blake Fisher, Trent Brown, Juice Scruggs, Jarrett Patterson.
No, if you could allow me to handcuff them together, I don't know how y'all betting goes. Can I handcuff a couple of guys? I feel like I'd be willing to put the money on Fisher Scruggs as a tandem or as one of those guys as a starter.
I think it depends how they want to play Titus. I mean, are we playing Titus at guard? Is he a guard for sure?
Yeah, that's what I think.
Because if he is, then I feel like Fisher got a real good chance to start at left or right tackle.
I'm feeling Trent Brown. I don't know why.
At right tackle?
Starting right tackle.
Mm.
He had a zip code in New England once.
All right. Well, that's fair. I see you kicks rocks on the YouTube page. Mike Breisel was a undrafted.
Mike Breisel,
A undrafted free agent in 06,
mm-hmm.
right? And was a starter, right? Mm-hmm. That is, look, it has happened. But I feel like you're also talking about a different team in 06 versus this 2020.
He was a bad dude. He played a whole playoff game on a broken ankle.
don't get me to try upsetting him, right? That's not what I'm trying to do. But ultimately, I feel like it's cool if it ends up like that. It feels like you're putting yourself in a circumstance where that's more, it's more likely than it should be for a team that is trying to step into the realm of Super Bowl contender.
Right.
And that's, that is the thing that, this is why I'm ultimately concerned. But I do recognize there's a possibility of finding a couple of guys that can help you run the rock better and thus pass the ball better because you're in fewer of those circumstances that create pressure.
Yeah.
And if you can find that, if you can get to that place, you have an opportunity to be a significantly better football team.
Yeah.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Wednesday, ain't it?
It is hump day.
Wednesday.
The one thing I am certain of, it is that time where you typically hand it over to Figgy Fig for the mixtape. What you got for us?
Yeah, so I'm going to need y'all to book some flights because we're about to fly to New York in the mixtape, and then we're going to wrap it up in L.A. We got some crazy stories from from New York to L.A.
Okay, let's hit the plane next.
Yep, it is Figgy's mixtape in the loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday to everyone out there. We just got through TSA, and we on the plane right now. We headed to the Big Apple, New York City.
All right.
And when we get there, we gonna have a steak, nice little steak dinner.
Okay.
Like, how you feel about a New York strip steak?
Well, sure.
Pretty good?
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah, I'll do a New York strip every day.
How do you feel if somebody changed the name of a New York strip to the Texas strip steak?
They still gonna kick it up medium rare?
I don't care what you call it. Yeah, I don't care what you call it.
Yeah, so apparently the state of Texas is trying to change the name New York strip to the Texas strip steak.
Why?
You, what do you mean why? What do you mean why?
Why?
I think,
take that New York off.
Yeah, I think the answer to that question is, I think people feel like it should be called the Texas strip steak because most of the beef comes from where?
Texas, a lot of it,
So
I thought you were about to actually. That felt like the perfect opportunity.
He was trying to.
I stopped myself.
He was trying to.
Actually, California has a very strong and robust agriculture. Anybody trying to hear that right now?
The Midwest, Nebraska especially.
Yeah, well, actually got here.
Don't nobody care about no Nebraska.
So here's CBS News in New York with the story on this whole Texas strip steak.
There's tension sizzling between New York and Texas.
Well,
the Lone Star State wants to rename the New York strip steak to the Texas strip steak, but New Yorkers, they're not having it.
Please, give me a break.
You have enough. You have a cowboy steak. What else you need? Leave this to New York. Am I right or no?
Some New York restaurant leaders and New York state officials are sending a message to Texas about the recent proposal to rename the famous New York strip steak to the Texas strip steak.
There's a name, there's a brand, and you can't take that away from New Yorkers.
You're being extra. You're being very extra. Leave it the way it is. It's the New York strip, and it's a New York strip for a reason. And it's a great cut of meat.
It appears New Yorkers aren't squashing this beef anytime soon.
The fact is that New York was the original creator of the strip steak. Anything else is fake advertising.
I don't, this is funny to me.
Yeah, it's very funny. It's funny to the point, like, I ain't think New Yorkers would get this mad over this,
but
to the
cut,
point, I kind of hope it happened.
The cut is a New York strip and originated there. Just like,
okay, why is it called a New York strip?
Just like buffalo wings originated there. Are we going to start calling them Texas wings?
Hey, don't give them ideas. They might run that up the flagpole.
If it's made in Texas.
Philadelphia cheesesteak. We're going to call that a Texas cheesesteak?
Hey, they do have a Texas cheesesteak.
Well, they do, actually.
Yeah, they do have one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's going to piss people off like this.
Yeah, but it's a New York strip. It started there. And obviously, I don't...
Look at you defending New York.
And see, that's what I'm saying.
New Yorker.
That's exactly where I was going. I don't want to sit here and just defend
you
done
had
New York.
Your son but wedding Buffalo, in New York.
Should they not be called Buffalo Wings anymore?
From the 713, it's a Texas steak. It's the Gulf of Texas. Texas will happen everywhere else.
Gulf of America, that is.
Can kiss my bleep. They said, we'll call them Texas Wings, too. I see you, 713. I just want to make sure... Am I going to get the steak that I want? That's all I like. Just let me know what I got to order to get the steak that I want.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm actually against changing it is I don't want there to be more confusion. I want it to be in confusion. There's largely a consensus. We know exactly what I'm asking for when I ask for this New York strip.
Yeah.
So just keep calling it the New York strip. And I feel like that one cat in there, like, yes, he is the Debbie Downer. He's the dude who is not going to let us have fun, but he is right. Don't y'all got more important things to do?
Yeah, no, that's
like,
true.
I currently live in Texas, and I think a lot of y'all do. There's some things I'd like y'all to address if y'all don't mind.
That's right.
I feel like this one, we got this one covered. I haven't had a hard time getting a steak usually.
My only pushback on this is if you want to call something a Texas strip steak, mm-hmm. it got to be something different. It can't just be the regular steak.
No, they're changing it, man.
You got to put, I mean, I feel like everything in Texas, to make it Texas made or a Texas edition, you got to put some, I don't know if you put some jalapeno on mm-hmm. it or make it a bigger strip steak or something like that. It can't be the exact same New York strip steak. But
make it bigger. That's always good.
Yeah, that's everything. Yeah. You see everything down here, Texas made, is usually bigger.
Yeah.
So that's my only pushback on that. Mm-hmm. All right, we gonna stay in New York. We in a cab now. We in a yellow cab. Okay. And
you got
the cash cab?
We in the cash can.
All right, let's go.
And you got the tip though.
You actually got this whole trip covered. You got the money for it.
Exactly.
So the Giants had a pretty packed. They got a pretty packed QB room with Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Tommy DeVito. Don't forget about him.
Mm-hmm.
And now Jackson Dart. And we are listening right now to WFAN Boomer and Geo.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess Geo isn't a fan of this whole Jackson Dart pick, and a listener had a bone to pick with Gio.
Hey, good morning, guys. Gio, I got a bone to pick with you this morning, Gio.
Yeah.
Is everything okay this morning? Because you've done nothing but rip the Giants at 6
start.
O'clock this morning.
Okay.
How many Ole Miss games have you actually watched?
Oh, wow.
Okay?
I've sat there and watched.
If the Giants like a quarterback, you go out and get him, Gio.
Okay, Mike. Hey, listen to me. Hold on for a second. For God's sakes, I'll talk to you. And by the way, I said this for dummies like you earlier that I hated the Vikings pick of J.J. McCarthy. I said he stinks and I hated it. So that has nothing to do with it being a Vikings fan or not. And how many Ole Miss games did John Gruden watch of Jackson Dart? And I'll tell you right now, he thinks he stinks.
How many times have you watched him play?
How many times have you watched him play, Mike?
More than you.
How many times have you watched him play? How many times? Seriously. You're a Giants fan, so you're going to suck off every one of their picks.
Hey, yo. Whoa.
It's like Eli. You're probably one of those sickos who sat there and defended Daniel Jones for 6 freaking years. Get over it. He's a pudgy Utah clapper. How many games did Ole Miss? I don't need to watch any games of Ole Miss. How many games did BYU not watch Zach Wilson play? 0, and I knew he was going to suck.
Fantastic.
Geo. How many games did you watch, Geo?
I just crumpled up a read. I'm so sorry.
All right, so this
that was art. I'm sorry. Like that was there. You could tell there was a point where he actually got mad. Like I thought, for the most part, he was just like, I'm gonna take this up a notch and do the bit. Mm-hmm. But there was a point where I felt like he legitimately got mad. Did you know what point that was?
When he started yelling at the very end.
Well, no. I think it was the Daniel Jones. I think when he got to Daniel Jones, I think that one. I felt that one in the spirit. Other than that, I think he was just doing a really good bit. But Daniel Jones, I felt that one.
No, I could tell he got irritated when the caller said, how many Ole Miss games have you watched?
That's always a trigger.
That one would piss me off, too.
That's always a trigger.
How many games have you watched today?
Which, incredible start to the call, because at first, like he starts with, what's wrong with basically who peed in your drink, in your coffee, and then was like, how many games are you watching? I was like, how did you not expect to get yelled at?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, Figgy. You clearly saw the video. I just heard the audio. Did he look legitimately?
He looked a little irritated, mm-hmm. but you could tell he kind of went on with the bit. He was smiling a little bit, but you could tell he was just irritated with the, okay, Gio. Like, you could tell he was just irritated. It's just like, man, come on. And sometimes you do get a little irritated with people who just, I ain't going to say what he said, but just love up on the draft picks way too much.
Yeah.
And it's just like, all right, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, no, you're going to love everything they do. So I could tell he was taking a stab at that, too.
Underrated part for me, I just feel like I don't use the word stinks nearly enough. Like, just generally. Saying somebody stinks, you know?
I like that word. I say that a lot.
He stinks!
Yeah. That was great. That was fantastic. I thought that was an excellent. Well done. Like, I love it. A+.
All right, we on our way to L.A. right now. But first, we got to make a pit stop.
A pit stop?
Yeah, pit stop. So we flying over Cleveland right now. We going to stop in Cleveland for a little bit.
Okay.
So I don't know if y'all heard or saw this news, but so I think one of the complaints Clevelanders or Browns fans are having about this offseason is they didn't really address the wide receiver position. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really they didn't address it in the draft like that. And they actually, right now, they actually signed a Texans legend by the name of Deontay Johnson.
Yes, they did.
So former Deontay, been here about 1.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. I think he played how many snaps? He probably played like 3 snaps. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
A handful of them.
Yeah, it didn't last too long. But here's Ken Carmen and Anthony Lima on 92.3 The Fan. Ken pretty much giving his reaction to the Deontay Johnson news.
Deontay Johnson. I got bigger things to worry about than some run-of-the-mill, afterthought wide receiver who has problems with every team he's on, all right? We have much bigger problems. Hey, do you guys really think that Deontay Johnson's going to ruin the 3-14 football team? Oh, no. I don't think he fits in any locker room. I don't think he fits in at the DMV. Deontay Johnson. Because this is the most we're ever going to talk about him. You know why? Because he ain't going to be on the opening day roster. Because he'll show his ass and he'll be out of here. Yeah, the Browns are going to fix him. Yeah, that's the team that's going to fix Deontay Johnson. The Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. You got it.
He's not wrong.
I agree with everything he was saying.
He is not wrong.
It's a fantastic point.
Pretty good little rhyme there, too.
Yeah.
I mean, he just said
it wasn't word. Even edited. He was really saying that the whole time. Like, I thought this was like an edit or something. Like some type of cool little edit somebody did. But salute to Deontay Johnson. I wonder how long he going to be there before they say, you know what? This ain't working out.
It's not you, it's us.
What's the over-under you giving me on this?
What's that?
What you giving on how many weeks Deontay
Johnson? Will he be
Johnson?
Cut by the end of the last preseason game?
Ooh, yeah. Is he going to make the 53, man?
No, he won't make the 53.
Okay.
I don't think so.
You think he'd be going by game 3 of the preseason?
Oh, no. They're gonna probably keep him the whole time.
You think they're going to keep him the whole time?
Yeah, but he's not going to make the roster.
I think by game 3 he won't be on the roster. Yeah, I think they're going to move on before that.
Mm-hmm. What does it mean if he does make the roster and actually like sticks in a way, like, cuz obviously
produces a little bit is what
you're saying? Like if he just ends up actually working in a place, cuz I mean, I thought that this was the best circumstance for him to possibly work. D'Amico Ryan's coming through with the I don't care what you did nowhere else.
Yeah.
You know, completely blank slate. I was like, boom, there you go. You got an opportunity, and it still
I think it'd probably be somewhat of a compliment to him more than
anything about the
indictment of anybody else.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. All right, now we made it to L.A.
All right.
And we getting off the plane at LAX.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to ask y'all this. We're going to wrap this trip up, and no pun intended. We talked about the sperm racing event.
I knew that's that. As soon as you said no pun intended.
Hey, we talked about it yesterday. Here is ABC 7 up in Cali, in L.A., talking about this event. And I want to see all the little, I see what you did there.
Little puns? All right, how many puns do we got here?
Yeah, let me see how many you could count here.
Downtown L.A.'s night scene exploding Friday with an event billed as the world's first sperm race. 4 contestants came with the goal to win $10,000 in bragging rights for the strongest, fastest semen. The competitors' sperm put into a microscopic racetrack, and then they're off. The sperm, literally captured on this screen, swimming to the finish line. But perhaps this was the matchup of the night. Male students from USC and UCLA. In the end, the Trojan won. The Bruin got creamed.
That's crazy.
Shout out to ABC. Oh, what's this, ABC 7?
Yeah, that's what you said.
ABC 7. I'm giving y'all all the credit for that.
Yes,
I want to know
it
how
them.
The,
yeah. It was them.
I want to know how the news director felt about that. When he was like, all right, this is the story. We got it.
Yeah.
I got it here. It's like, ooh.
Probably had to make a couple of calls. Hey, this is legal, right?
Yeah, legal. Hey,
that, right?
Just imagine that director just sitting in his office. Yes. You hear that.
What?
I'm sure he walked right to that set like, yeah. Are you serious? Like, what the hell is wrong with you?
They're double checking and checking and double checking.
I kind of want to ask which of the puns was like the most egregious, but then I don't feel like I want to say them again. So I just want to leave that where it is, I guess. Yeah.
I would say the first one was probably the most.
I thought the second one was most egregious.
Really?
Let me hear the first one.
Downtown LA's night scene exploding that Friday one. With an yeah. event nope. billed as the world's first sperm race. Four contestants came.
There it is. That's the one. That's the one. I was like, all right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Because he put a little extra juice on it, too.
Yeah, no, he's like, clearly people aren't going to get what I'm trying to do here.
Yeah. And then let me just cover it up by being a professional journalist and broadcaster by talking in this voice.
It's like one of those things where you have to talk about something uncomfortable, but you tell yourself, don't laugh. You know, it'll be a lot worse if you laugh. Just say it. Just do what you need to do.
Yeah. All right. I'll wrap it up with this.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually wasn't trying to do that. But since we in L.A., Hollywood and all that stuff, Stephen A. Smith, he kind of a Hollywood type of cat.
Mm-hmm.
He was on General Hospital.
He sure was.
As of late. So if you don't know, he plays a character that jumps on from time to time named Brick.
Excellent naming, by the way.
Yeah,
guys.
So Brick is a hitman, mm-hmm. apparently. And this was his latest scene. So I'll try to paint the picture a little bit
mm-hmm.
before I play the clip. So somebody is in the hospital, and apparently you got a crooked nurse in there that's trying to kill this person in the hospital bed. And out comes nowhere is Brick. and this is how that clip went. And Stephen A. came in with the little silencer and kills the crooked nurse.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm gonna need to see some ID. ID. Now.
Of course.
So now right here, the nurse is pulling out a gun from her scroll.
Oh,
no.
I didn't see that part.
So Stephen A. jumps to the side,
yeah.
pull out a silencer, and did this.
Pew!
Like, that brother caught to the side. You know how you do the little fake gun in the wink?
Yeah.
He pulled out the gun just like that. To the side.
He does it all. He does it all.
And of all the things that he does, mm-hmm. maybe this is a hot take. I actually would like to see him act.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people are like, oh, could Stephen A. Smith run for president? Miss me with that every day and twice on Sunday. Would Stephen A. Smith be great as an actor in any, literally put him in damn near anything, and I actually think I would watch it. I would enjoy that quite a bit.
It was actually so funny because it looked like he just stepped off of the first take set.
Oh, yeah. Like he was probably wearing the same suit.
Yeah, it looked like he was wearing the exact same suit. Mm-hmm. Like you just pulled him off set and say, all right, I need you to be this guy named Brick.
Yeah.
So I don't think, I feel like we went by something I said, and I think y'all didn't understand me. When I said put him in anything, I'm saying put him in a rom-com. I'm saying put him in a period piece.
A
biopic.
A period piece.
Like, I'm not joking. Let him act in something, and I'll watch
it. He got to wear the same stuff he wear on the day.
The same suit.
He always got to be in a suit, in a Stephen A. Smith suit.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, it's same haircut, same all of that, man. He just got to be this. He got to be Stephen A. Smith and just put him in any movie.
He can do it. He can absolutely do it.
Please, save us from the other things and just act. I would watch it.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. Figgy's Mixtape every weekday right here on Sports Radio 610 at 1:20 p.m. If you see something out there that you deem mixtape worthy, at the Figgy Fig on social media is where you send it. The Astros down 2-1 right now against mm-hmm. the Tigers.
Damn, that was quick.
Yeah.
What was really quick was seeing Jeremy Peña, first pitch, belt high fastball.
Yeah.
Boom, into the Crawford boxes. That was the lead. Unfortunately, A.J. Blueball mm-hmm. in his debut allows a home run into right field, a 2-1
blast.
Don't
do it, Lopez. Don't do
that,
it, man.
That
the guy busted that ball, though. He really, second deck.
All right, man.
You just couldn't help yourself.
I seen Lopez over there thinking. Like,
there was a twinkle in his eye, wasn't
it?
Yeah. But yeah, 2-1, bottom of the second. Astros trail as of right now as they hope to try and get a sweep of the Tigers, and it looks like they're going to get some bases here with an error on the field. All right, so it's 832 said they like him on General Hospital. Okay, cool. I'm not a soap guy, but I've heard that he's good.
So there you go. All right. Coming up next, let's get ready to hand it off to the fellas of the drive. Clinton Ron will do that next.
Yeah, been a fun Wednesday here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reggie Atitula, and Figgy Fig hanging out with you. Appreciation for everybody who's listening, however you're listening. Wherever you're listening, thanks for making us a part of your day. The Astros down 3-1 now. A little sack fly brought home that third run. And the
unearned run.
Unearned run.
So far, anyway.
Because a very uncharacteristic is the word that I was looking for. Error by Jeremy Pena. Saw that that runner get to third base. And that made me think, like, we were talking about this Astros team, if you felt like they were fully turning the corner now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a question that I should ask you specifically, especially since this is your Friday, before I get a chance to talk to you next week. But you are probably the dude who has carried the flag on the, all right, you know, the analytics are cool. However, there are the hidden errors that I am raging against, that I am railing against, that this Astros team still kind of has. How have you felt of late? Maybe outside of that Jeremy Pena error, about the defense. Because in turning the corner, that's also been a part of what we're looking at. How much Altuve has come along. How much Cam Smith has come along in their new positions. How second base has been handled with all of this shifting. Like, where are you at looking at the defense?
No, the defense isn't, and this is a term you've heard me use, you know, is it a net positive or is it a net negative? It's not a net negative. I don't know if it's a net positive, but I'll take that. You know, when you consider, you know, you just mentioned it, Altuve and Cam Smith, you're getting about what you need out of third base and first base. I think Paredes has two or three errors. That was only Jeremy Pena's second error, if I'm remembering it correctly. So you're getting about what you want out of it. It's never going to be a plus defensive team, I don't think, like it has been in recent years. But as long as it's just okay, then you'll be all right. And plus, they might be above average, you know, but you know what I'm saying? Like a real defense is their calling card kind of thing. I don't see that happening. But I think what you're getting is you're starting to get those hints, you know, of maybe this offense is really finding itself a little bit, turning the corner, as we talked about earlier. And certainly, you know, you can listen to that whole conversation and this one on the Odyssey app if you want to go back. But the reason I say that is, outside of the error, offensively, you know, Jeremy Pena, he's having a good start to the season.
I mean, hell, we just talked about how he crushed a 98-mile-per-hour fastball. Now, it was middle, belt high, and put it in the Crawford's boxes. But he's definitely finding himself and having a good offensive year.
Altuve is doing Altuve things from the get-go,
right?
You know, and certainly, you can still wonder about Yordan and Christian Walker. But I think those guys have enough pelts on the wall that you can feel relatively comfortable, at least in Yordan's case, that it's gonna balance itself out. I think you're getting plus seasons from players that you didn't expect to as well. So I think it's all in all, and I'm the guy that says it's not just early when things are going bad; it's early when things are going good. I think all in all, you know, even though you can say that, I like the direction of this team right now.
I love pedantry, which Kix Rocks is bringing to you. If above average by definition is a plus, so in your face, hold on to that.
No, I said that. I literally just said that it could be above average, but not like plus. You know what I mean? Like what the word?
I don't know. I just wanted to be pedantic.
That's
but
okay.
That's okay. I do also want to circle back around because the fellas of Area 45, fantastic program, 7-11, right here on Sports Radio 610. They were talking about last night, Yordan Alvarez, and I mean we definitely have not talked as much about this portion of it, which is this month that he is wrapping up might be one of, if not the worst months that he's put up to date. Like, do you have any feelings, any kind of thoughts on why that would be the case? Because, I mean, he's playing consistently, right, in a way that would make you not make you think that and he's playing in the field at times. It doesn't feel like there's like an injury concern that would be there. The velocity is still, or the swing, you know, the swing speed is still there in the right way. Some of the other, I mean, advanced metrics, when you look at, you know, like whiff rate and chase rate and things of that, like, it's not like he is the approach, at least when it comes to metrically, looks wildly different that it would explain this. Like, do you have any leads or any thoughts on why you're seeing such a bad version of Yordan Alvarez early.
No, I've thought about this, and I've looked at some of those numbers, not to the degree that you do, because you
no, not me, Lay. Like, not to the degree that Bajani and Creighton do.
That you do with your advanced analytics and all that. But I've thought about it. I've looked at it. The only thing that can come up, that comes to mind with me and Yordan and the very uncharacteristic way he's hitting the ball right now, it's got to be a little glitch in his swing. It's got to be, because the bat speed is there. You know, clearly we know, you know, what he can do when he makes contact. I don't think it's the scouting report. You know, they've had scouting reports on Yordan for, you know, years now, and he's always figured it out. It's got to be something with the swing, loading or plane, or, you know, whatever it may be. That's the only thing I can figure with him.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, they gave him the day off today, mm-hmm. and obviously he'll have tomorrow off before they get to the weekend series versus the White Sox, and mm-hmm. maybe that little reset will help. But I mean, I feel like we were in that place, weren't we there last week
yeah.
on Wednesday, where he gets the day off and we see what it looks like. So I don't know. We'll see if he can get himself going. Also, I guess salute to former Astros manager Phil Garner, who was he threw the first ceremonial first pitch today. It is his 76th birthday, and there's a ton of Astros, former Astros, in the building celebrating the occasion. Roger Clemens, Lance Berkman, Jose Cruz, Craig Biggio, mm-hmm. all sorts of folks in the building celebrating Phil Garner. So of
he's
course,
been under the weather here in recent months, so it's great that he was out there.
Yeah, and yeah. great that they got a whole bunch of people out there mm-hmm. to salute him on this opportunity to celebrate.